Well, my name is Rob. It's a privilege to be able to share with you tonight. Let's pray before we continue. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can freely come together tonight and open up your word. Thank you that we can study together, and I ask that you'll speak to us and encourage us in our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, over the month of January, we've been looking at different Psalms each Sunday. And the book of Psalms, it is made up of a great collection of songs and prayers. And it's where the writers, where they've poured out their feelings. They've confessed their sins. They've expressed their doubts and fears. They've asked God for help in times of troubles. They've also offered up their praise and worship to God. And tonight, we're looking at Psalm 138. And hopefully, as you were listening before, as the passage was read out, you would have noticed that there's an overriding theme of praise and giving thanks and worshipping God in this psalm. Now, Psalm 138, it was written by King David. And David's father was Jesse. David was the younger son, and he had seven brothers. And when God wanted a new king to replace King Saul, God chose David to replace him. But before David became king, he worked in the fields as a shepherd. And in those days, being a shepherd is what many of the young boys and men did. David, he looked after his sheep. He was responsible for their safety. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read how on different occasions, David killed a lion and then a bear to protect his sheep. Now, not only did David kill a lion and bear, he went on to kill Goliath, the Philistine giant, in order to keep his country safe. Now, God chose David to be the new king, and God took him from in the field, from being a shepherd over the flock of sheep, to being the king and looking after the people of Israel. And in the Old Testament times, kings were looked upon as gods. Yet David realised that he wasn't a god, and he knew that the Lord God was the one true God. And as a result, David was able to praise God with his whole heart. Verse 1 it says, I'll praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. David had learned that praise, it was not supposed to be a half-hearted thing. When you praise God with your whole entire heart. And there are two other occasions when David refers to praising God with his whole heart. In Psalm 9, verse 1, he says, I'll praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonders. And in Psalm 111, verse 1, David says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with all my heart. David had learnt that real praise comes from the heart. And there's a challenge there for each of us at the start of this psalm. And that challenge is, do we praise God with all of our heart? Or are we distracted? Have we replaced God with other idols, such as sport, money, your job, your family, or your possessions? And one way to find out if you have replaced God in your heart with something else is by asking yourself, what is it that consumes my thoughts, my energy, and what is it that I'm constantly talking about? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, we read, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now this passage from Matthew, it reminds us that when we have the wrong treasure in our hearts are in the wrong place, and we are unable to praise God with our whole heart. David, he was the king of Israel. He had wealth, he had fame, he had possessions. Yet he still chose to put God as number one in his life. He placed God above his wealth, his fame and possessions. God was his priority. And as a result, he was able to praise God with his whole heart. Now, I love to go camping and exploring this great country, Australia, that we live in. I love reading four-wheel drive magazines. And I can easily talk about camping and four-wheel driving and all that fun stuff. Well, I think it's fun anyway. But I need to make sure that I don't turn my interests and the things that I enjoy into a god. Because when I devote all my time, all my thoughts and my energy onto the things that I enjoy, I run the risk of replacing the one true God with another God. And a consequence of replacing God with something else is that I'm unable to worship God with all of my heart. The things that we set our hearts on, the things that we see as important, the things that we treasure the most, are the things that we treasure in our hearts. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus makes it clear that having the wrong treasures leads to our hearts being in the wrong place. And that is because the things that we treasure are the things that control us, whether we admit it or not. And Jesus calls us to make a decision that allows us to live contently with whatever we have, because we have chosen eternal values over temporary earthly treasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with having hobbies and interests and talking about the things that you like. But when it consumes all of your energy, that's when we need to stop and ask ourselves, is that thing, that thing that you are passionate about, the thing that you love to do, is that distracting you from praising God with all of your heart? Praise and thanksgiving, it's woven throughout this psalm. And in verses 2 and 3, we can see how David is thanking God. Throughout his life, David had experienced God's love, God's faithfulness, and David had seen God answer his prayers. David, he also understood the Israelite history, and he knew what God had done for the Israelites in the past as well. He knew that God had saved and redeemed the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness, and when they defeated their enemies. David could look back, and he knew that Israel's God was the one true God that kept the Israelites safe. David knew this, and David was able to worship and praise God because God had been and God was still faithful. So in this past week, are there examples in your own life of where God has kept you or your family members safe? Can you think of ways in which God has answered your prayers? I'm sure that most of us here at various stages of our lives, we've asked God for protection, for strength, for comfort, for patience, for love, or for other specific needs. But have you also been like King David in today's psalm? And have you remembered to thank God for his faithfulness, for his love, and for answering your prayers? Taking God for granted, it's a trap that we need to be careful that we don't fall into. So I'd like to encourage each of us tonight to follow David's example and to remember to thank God for the material and spiritual blessings that he gives you, as well as for answering your prayers. Now in verse 7, we read that David is in the midst of trouble and that his enemies are in hot pursuit of him. And even though King David is in trouble, he doesn't begin this psalm by complaining to God about his life or listing all the things that have gone wrong. Instead, he begins this psalm by praising God for his tenderness and for his mercy. He praises God for his truth, his power, and his promises. David, he was the king of Israel. He had all the earthly things that he could possibly want or need. Yet he turned his attention to God. That's another great reminder as well for each of us, because at various stages of our lives, things, they can go pear-shaped. We might not be chased by enemies or have to battle a bear or a lion or kill a giant like David did. But at different stages of our lives, we can face situations that are difficult. It could be health-related, issues with your family or a close friend, trouble at work, loss of a job, or financial pressures. At various stages of our lives, we encounter difficult times. And even though King David, he was going through a difficult time here, he didn't turn to earthly things for help. Instead, he turned to God. And in verse 7, we can see how David was reaching out for God in the middle of his darkness while he was in trouble. And when we also look at Jesus' life, we can see that Jesus, he also experienced difficult times. The road to the cross, it wasn't easy. And in Matthew chapter 26, we read how Jesus agonized and prayed to God while he was in the garden. And in this passage from Matthew, we can see the agony and the pain that Jesus was going through. Yet Jesus chose to do God's will. Jesus chose to be obedient, and Jesus paid the price for all our sins by dying on a cross in our place. Jesus went through hard times, and King David, he also went through hard times. And when Jesus encountered hard times, he turned to God in prayer. When King David encountered hard times, he also turned to God in prayer. And most of us, we live busy and complex lives. And when something goes wrong, it can shake us up. When we get that phone call or hear the news that crushes our heart, it is easy to think and to dwell on that problem. It's easy to get stuck in the situation and the circumstances that you're facing. So my question for each of us tonight is, how do you respond when you're going through a difficult patch? Do you respond in the same way as King David, and do you take that situation, whatever it may be, directly to God? Now in 1835, a man, he visited a doctor in Florence in Italy. He was filled with anxiety, he was exhausted from lack of sleep, and he couldn't eat, and he avoided his friends. The doctor examined him and found that he was in prime physical condition. Concluding that this patient needed to have a good time, the doctor told him about a circus in town and its star performer, a clown named Grimaldi. So night after night, Grimaldi had people rolling in the aisles. "You must go and see him," the doctor advised. "Grimaldi is the world's funniest clown. He'll make you laugh and take away your sadness." "No," replied the despairing man. "He can't help me. You see, I am Grimaldi." Do you sometimes feel as though you are Grimaldi? Do you feel as though there's no one out there to help you, and that you're stuck in the situation and the circumstances that you're facing? In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, it's a great reminder for all of us, as it says, "Cast all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns to God, because he cares for you." Now when a mosquito lands on your arm and starts to suck your blood, how many of us here, you know, just stay there and watch the mosquito sucking its blood and then let it fly off again? I don't know many people that would do that. A natural response is to, you know, slap the mosquito and shoo it away so it doesn't leave you itchy. And we need to be the same with our anxieties, with our worries, with our concerns. And the moment they arise, we need to take them straight to God. We don't know how God will answer our prayers. He may answer them with a yes. Sometimes God says no, and that can be discouraging. And at other times, we might have to wait. We don't know how God will answer them. But what we do know is that God created us, and God knows us infinitely more than what we know. And as a result, God knows what is best for us and what we need. Now, our three boys, they're good at asking for different things. And at the moment, each of them, they'd like a new cricket bat. And last week when we were in a sports store, one of them saw the bat that he wanted. It was a Kaboom bat, just like what David Warner uses, and it cost $450. Our boys also wanted us to buy them cricket gloves and the cricket pads and a bag to put all their gear into. And for some reason, Shell and I said no to each of their requests. Now, being a parent, it doesn't mean that we give our children everything that they want when they ask for it. As parents, we give our children what is best for them. And it's the same with our prayers to God. We are God's children, and he gives us what is best for us. And there are times when we have to put our trust in God, because he knows what he's doing. When problems or concerns arise, when you're worried about something, we need to take these things straight to God so he can look after it and deal with the situation. And I'm sure that you've all heard of the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, this evening I'd like to change that saying to when the going gets tough, the tough get God. Now, as you read Psalm 138, you'll notice that David refers to God 25 times. Do you know how many times David refers to himself? It's just 13. 13 times. David refers to God double the amount of times compared to when he speaks to himself. And there's a huge lesson in that for us as well, in that little word count there. David, he knew the order of things. David put God first, because God deserves our attention, no matter what the circumstances are. And this psalm that we've been looking at tonight, it encourages us to look to God and to thank him for all that he's done, to thank him for his protection, his provision, and his blessings. Now, maybe you can't remember what God has done in your life. Maybe it's been a long time since you've sensed God's presence or blessings in your life. And if that's the case, I'd like to finish by reminding all of us of just a few things that God has done. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This verse reminds us of God's love for you, and that God sent Jesus to die for you because he loves you. In John chapter 14 verse 6, we read that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Here we are reminded that God has shown us the way in which we can be saved and have eternal life. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 to 57, it says, The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." This passage, it reminds us that we have hope beyond the grave. We have victory over death, as death has been defeated. And these are just a few of the many promises that we can read about in our Bibles. And God has made these promises to each of us. Now, I don't know how your week has been. I don't know what you've been through. But this psalm that we've been looking at tonight, it reminds us that we are to praise God with our whole heart. And when issues and when problems arise, we're to take them straight to God, because he can work them out according to his plan. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. And I thank you that we can praise you with our whole heart. Help us not to be distracted by our hobbies, the things that we are passionate about, or the things that are going on around us. Help us to keep you as our number one focus. And Lord, when issues and concerns arise, help us to talk to you about them and to place our trust in you, knowing that you know what is best for us and will answer our prayers according to your glorious will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.